Acts chapter 1, just one verse for you today, and verse 8, familiar verse. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Of course, that verse is speaking about the day of Pentecost when God sent the Holy Spirit to empower the church, fill the believers, and it was a great day. And it was probably the greatest day after the resurrection itself that there is. I know it's a familiar verse, and I've preached on it at different times. It doesn't seem like too long ago I used that verse as well. But also, we either overlook it somewhat or even maybe misunderstand the verse. And he said, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And there's no power without the Holy Ghost. There's nothing. I mean, listen, I don't have a problem with programs. We use them, still talk, but I'm going to tell you what. It's the power of the Holy Spirit is what we've got to have. There's nothing else going to take the place of that. And it says that if we're saved, if we are saved, that we have the Holy Spirit. We've gotten that. The power is not a separate thing. He's not doling out the power separate from himself. It was a filling of the Holy Spirit that was really, he is power. It produced that. It's what he is. And we need that in our church. We need that in our lives as Christians. And there's no substitute for it. Now we think about God. I mean, the title of the message is the reality of the Spirit, and God is unlike anything or anybody in His universe. Listen, our thoughts cannot totally conceive in our word, or our words cannot express everything about God. As a matter of fact, we can't comprehend everything about God. That's why what we have the Bible written, and it has to be written in a way that we can understand it, that we can get a grip on it. But listen, it's not a total understanding. We have a finite mind and an infinite God, and the finite cannot understand or comprehend the infinite. It's an impossibility. If language could express God, then language would be greater than God. You got that? That's some deep stuff, right? If language could express God, then language would be greater than God. And so you can apply that in any way, shape, or form. The attributes of God. If we can't even, that doesn't define God. God is love, right? But we can't define God at that high of a level. Or we can't define love at that high of a level that it would make us understand what God is. See, so words can't do it. Words can't do that. Our definition of God and anything about God are totally inadequate as far as, in the totality of it. We may get a deeper understanding. We can understand things about God. And so the attributes of God are not component parts. In other words, God is love. Okay, so God's going to dole out some love, and God is joy, and God's going to dole out some joy. Things don't make up God. It's what God is. This is who He is, the things of God. We read in Galatians 5:22, the fruit, singular, of the Spirit is, and there's 9 characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit. Now, some people get that messed up. They put an S. It's like, in Buchanan, everybody puts an R on the end of everything. Well, in Christianity, everybody puts an S on the end. In the Revelations, no, it's not Revelations. It's the Revelation singular was one. So in the fruit of the Spirit, there's 9 characteristics that are listed there. They all are one thing. You can't separate the one. Well, I just want a little love, and I want a little long-suffering, but I don't want... No, you don't get it that way. It's all one unit, one thing. It's who God is. It's not made up of those separate things. And God, what God does, God gives Himself. He said this. He said, I am the great I am. He said, that's who He told Moses. He said, who do I say sending me? He said, just tell him I am. I am. I mean, He is. That's what it is. And so that's the things that we have to do about God. Is what I want to talk to you today about is really the reality of the Holy Spirit. The reality. There's so many things that we're a little fuzzy about or a little foggy about. Now, one thing we see, the very first point, I didn't get it alliterated and I didn't care. The very first point is receive power. It said in verse 8, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. In Luke 24:49, it says that the disciples were told to wait at Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high. Now, up to that point, they hadn't received power. They hadn't received the Holy Spirit. He's together. This was a power that had never been released in human nature before. Now, I know the Holy Spirit came and went on people in the Old Testament kind of in a temporary way. Usually it had to do with a specific thing that they had to do or were about to do or God led them to do. But they hadn't received it the same way. This had never happened before. And this power, I want to say this power still exists. This is not something that we're just reading about in like a history book, the Holy Spirit is real, right? I mean, we are believers, and we know from other texts in the Bible that when we're saved, that we receive the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit of God. That is a reality. I mean, just you're sitting here right now. I said, if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit of God. Boy, that same power is within you. It's God Himself. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You can't separate them. We have the three parts, it's not even parts in the word I want to use because that'll throw you off track. We have the three persons of the Trinity, but they all are one. They're one thing. You can't separate them. So we have God. Here's this power. It exists today. When they were told this, they said, this is what's going to happen on the day of Pentecost. Let me tell you what happened. It raised their expectations to a certain level. Can you imagine living in that day? Well, I'm trying to raise your expectations that you have the power of God living in you. You may have grieved Him. You may have quenched Him. You may have, ignored Him right out of existence in your life or church, but He's just as real. He's a real He's a real being. He's a real person there. And so their expectations were raised. They were taught to look forward to the coming of a supernatural potency coming into their natures from a source outside themselves. A supernatural potency, power. A supernatural power. This was God's plan. This is what God has done. And so it's nothing but God Himself entering to the life of those that put their faith in Him through Jesus Christ, put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, who is God, by the way, as well. And this is the dividing line between what separates Christianity from every other religion and cult. Just about a year ago, I shared this with you as a church. Just about a year ago, I ran into a guy out in the middle of the woods. I was out there turkey hunting. Didn't know him from the man in the moon. And just God impressed upon me to witness to the guy. And the guy had some good questions. He wasn't combative, argumentative in that sense. He had questions. I said, great. You get somebody on that place, at that place, you got a good start there. And he said, well, listen, you know, the other religions of the world are going to say they're right, other kinds of religions. I said, you're right. They're going to say they're right, but everybody can't be right. Everybody can be wrong, but we all can't be right. But I'm going to tell you what the difference is. They don't have a resurrected Savior. He didn't have nothing to say. I said, they don't have a resurrected Savior. We have the resurrection made all the difference. You know what? Those other religions or cults have their ideals. They have their philosophy. They have their phrases. You hear things like look within, believe in yourself, release your potential. There's even people under the name of Jesus telling you that. If you watch the wrong people on television sometime, release your potential. And they may have some temporary value, but it won't last. Why? Because they build hope upon the fallen nature of man, not on the power of God Himself. And so, this is what got to be the difference. Listen, if we just come in here and say, okay, I'm going to go down to the altar and I'm going to confess that I'm a sinner and I'm going to ask Jesus to forgive me of my sins, and then I'm going to get baptized over here in the creek, and then I'm going to join up with the church and I'm going to come in here and sit week in and week out, and there's no powerful bearing or a force that's operating in my life outside the church. All we did was join a club. Huh? All we did, we can join up with the Cub Scouts, the Boy Scouts, whatever they got. You can join up with anything, and it makes no difference in your life. It's not that. It's not that. It's the power of the Holy Spirit coming in our life, and I mean, it's a reality, and I want you to know that. Don't think it's old history or it's different today. No, it's not any different. This is what happened on the day of Pentecost, and it still happens in the church and in Christian lives today. It's not Christianity. Listen, the definition of Christianity, I love this definition right here. Probably a million people tried to define it. Christianity is God himself invading the heart of the believer. God himself invading the heart of the believer. I'm talking God coming in the person of the Holy Spirit into the believer. Man, that is Christianity, huh? It's not in a bunch of other acts and things that we have to do. It's the power that he gives. What God gives us, what's the power? It's himself. It's himself that God is dwelling in us. I've shared with you, I'll share it over and over again, but I pray differently now. I don't pray to a God in heaven. I don't pray to a God standing beside me, but I pray to a God that's living in me. I mean, boy, that changes my outlook on everything when I know I'm praying to God in me. Not way off somewhere. See, that's the step. So when you're lost, you're thinking God's way off. So everybody looks up and prays away. And then when you get a little closer to God, he's standing here beside you. But boy, when you really get a hold of it, he's in you. I mean, God is in me. Boy, what a difference when you pray that way, when you start praying. Think about it. Next time you get ready to pray, just start thinking, God, I'm praying to God in me. If you're saved, that's a reality as well. The Bible tells us, listen, the power he gives us himself. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If he didn't give us power and all these other things that we talk about, these self-help things, if the Bible tells us that we're crucified with Christ, and if God doesn't empower us, then there's no other power. If there was some other power or some other thing that we could put in there, you're putting it into a dead man. And what's that do? It's like putting a respirator on a dead man, right? A respirator on a dead man doesn't do any good. We need the life of God. That's Zoe. That is the life of God. We need the life of God living in us. If you're saved, you have the life of God living in you. And, a lot of times I think people treat the Word of God, the Bible, like a recipe book, a cookbook. Well, listen, this is what I'm going to do. We get the ideals of Christ in here, the thou shalt nots and the thou shalls, and okay, if I do this and I add this ingredient and I take away that ingredient and I put all the ingredients into my life, then I will become a Christian. And that's not Christianity. Listen, we can't follow instructions like a recipe book and come out with a product. It doesn't happen. I'm not saying the ideals are wrong. They're right. The ideals are good. A lost man doesn't have the power to live according to the Word of God. You can't live Matthew chapter 5. You can't live the Beatitudes apart from the power of God in your life. It's just, all that is showing us is what the life should be like. The possibility only exists in the reality of the Holy Spirit empowering us. It's really God himself living in us. I live, yet not I, but Christ that live within me. Paul had it all figured out, right? You can't do it. Just surrender. I used to go to Baptist meetings and they'd bring out handkerchiefs and wave them in the air. I don't even know if they knew why they did it. They did it because everybody else did it. But what it is, it's a sign of surrender. Man, if you surrender, boy, that's what you have to do. So we see, number one, we're going to receive power. Well, what kind of power? It's not a physical power, although it could be. Not a mental power, particularly. Though a power, like I say, not physical necessarily or mental, but that power, this power may affect both the physical and the mental aspect of that. But it's another kind of power. It's not like lightning that strikes a tree. It's not like wind that blows or a storm that gets an ocean, a flood, or anything, any power that we see in nature. It's a spiritual power. The power that God is, the power to create God-like character in men and women who were once evil by nature and by choice. And so this is the kind of power. I'll show you a little bit more. This probably could go with the other point, but so how the power operates. Okay, this is how the power operates. This is what we like to know, like brass tacks. We want to get down to the point, right? Okay, wrestling. In wrestling, a wrestler uses the force of his body against the body of his opponent, leverage and all that. And he applies pressure, he applies his pressure to their body. A teacher applies pressure of ideas upon the mind of the student. The moralist applies the pressure of duty upon the conscience of his disciple. The Holy Spirit applies pressure upon the human spirit. It's a spiritual power. The Holy Spirit applies pressure to our human spirit. Oh, the Holy Spirit may use other things. The Holy Spirit may use a sermon, a song, a good deed, a text in the Bible. Nature, looking at nature. Holy Spirit could use that. But the final work's going to be done by the pressure of the Spirit upon the human spirit. That's how the Holy Spirit works. So what do we see in the average church services today? What do we really see? I mean, we see a form of godliness. We got a form of godliness. We know when we should be reverent, when we should do the right thing, say the right thing, sing the right thing, look the right way, act a certain way, talk a certain way. We know all those things. We've got a sermon. We've got a song. We got a symbol. We got a symbol of what we say we believe. We've got all these things. We can create a man-made atmosphere through song, appearance, everything. We can do that. But what about the power from God? What about the power from on high? Believers filled with the Holy Ghost. How about this? The awareness of the presence of God. I pray for that all the time. I pray for that for our service. I mean, I know I have the Holy Spirit of God. I know that, but I want an awareness of the presence of God. An awareness of the Holy Spirit speaking to us. You have that? You ever have that? Directing, leading, giving divine impulses in our lives. I do a lot of reading. And there's a lot of words I know that I don't use them because I normally don't talk that way. And so you probably wouldn't know what they are. Some of them I know what they are, and I don't know if I could define them totally. I read a word the other day. I'd never heard it. I'd never seen it in writing. Afflatus. I said, afflatus. And I was looking in the context of what I was reading, and I kind of had an idea. So I had to look it up. A divine creative impulse. An afflatus. I use it in a sentence here later. A divine creative impulse. This is God. This is the Holy Spirit of God. That's what we need. We need to understand that that's just a reality. It's just as real. Can be just as real. Should be just as real. It's even better. Should be just as real as it was in any time from the day of Pentecost forward. It should be just as real in our life. A divine creative impulse. The reality of the Spirit's my next point, which really goes with the title of my, I got everything done. I was ready to give her notes. I didn't even have a title. And this is what I thought was what I wanted to convey to you the most. So how do we view God? How do we view God? How do we receive His word in work, like what we're doing today? You know, a lot of times it's this way in Christianity. We receive the word in kind of a vague, shadowy sense. You know, we would say, yeah, it's all true. And we look back at, you know, things in the past in the Word of God. We look back at how God worked. And, you know, we kind of see, oh, yeah, man, God did that. And we would all say, yeah, God could do things and God can and, you know, maybe God will. But we're kind of vague about it. We're suspended somewhere between the real and the unreal world. And we look at God and we look at the Word of God and we read about the power of God or the power of the Holy Spirit, and we have a promise from God, and the day of Pentecost took place and the Holy Spirit's here and the Holy Spirit indwells the hearts of the believers, and yet at the same time we look at these things in a way that doesn't really relate to our life right now in the here and now. Doesn't do anything. Where nothing in your life is affected. And I'm going to tell you something. Apart from the Holy Spirit of God, I don't care if we were a believer or not, apart from the Spirit of God, and I think I went through this a few weeks back or a month ago or something like that, the disciples hardly had no power at all until the day of Pentecost. They couldn't get victory over nothing. I mean, Peter couldn't stand up to a little maid accusing him of being a disciple, man, until after the day of Pentecost. And so if we were here and we just said, yeah, we're believers, but now if you are a true believer, you have the Holy Spirit of God, but let's just let me give you a hypothetical right there. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. If the Holy Spirit's not real, let me do it that way. If the Holy Spirit's not real and we're not empowered by the Holy Spirit like God said, I'm going to tell you something right now. What I'm telling you out of this book right here, what I'm preaching to you, and what I pray about and all that is going to have absolutely zero impact on your life. Ain't a lot of amening on that one, is it? You know why? Because there's a lot of people sitting in churches that have all this has had zero impact on how they live their life. Zero. And I'm going to tell you something, brother. You better get saved, man. I'm going to tell you what, God is coming back. We're in the last days. The Lord is coming back. And I'm going to tell you what, if you look in the Bible and study that, that many are going to say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do many wonderful works? And he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. You know why? Because they wasn't really saved. They got deceived by Satan saying everything's all right. Because I used to say this, and man, I was wrong. I know it was just the one time in my life I was wrong, but I was wrong about it. Happens, man. Everything, you know. Listen, I used to say, oh, Satan would be the one to tell you that you're not saved. You get that little doubt in your mind? No, he wouldn't. How stupid is that? Why would Satan tell us that we're lost so we can turn around and get saved? No, he'd tell you, no, you're saved. Everything's all right. Don't worry about it. That's what Satan would tell you. God's the one that's going to say, uh-uh. No, and we got all the evidence right here. Where's the power? Where's the impact of the Word of God? Where's the impact of the cross and the resurrection and the giving of the Holy Spirit on your life? And only you can answer that, but I guarantee you a lot of people that know you are asking the same question. Huh? Yeah, if it's not real, where's the reality of this? Well, there's no awareness of power. There's no awareness of God's presence. There's not a reality. It's not a reality, right? You with me? This is deep stuff, man. I'll tell you, I'm done preaching all that frivolous stuff. That's a combination word, frivial. Eh? I'm tired of preaching on that. It's good, it's all good and everything, but it don't have any impact on people's lives, man. We got to get down to the meat here, man. We got to get down to the deeper stuff that has to do with the things of God. One meaning of the word power is the ability to do. The ability to do. The ability to make spiritual things real in a soul. Now listen here. The Holy Spirit doesn't create things which are not here, but reveals things that are already present, but hidden from the soul. Great Old Testament illustration, I love it, in 2 Kings, remember Elisha's servant? And they were at Dothan, and the enemy had circled around the city. And Elisha, man, I just picture him not worrying about anything, just in there, and his servant said, he looks out the window and he sees the enemy. And he says, Master, how shall we do? And Elisha just prayed, God, open up his eyes, let him see. And this isn't what it says, but I'm going to insert it, and it is not going to do any harm to the text. Let him see what's a reality. Huh? Let him see a reality. See, he thought it was not a reality. Now, here's this. If the Holy Spirit doesn't open our eyes to the spiritual things, they're not a reality to us. It's not a reality. He said, let him see what's unreal, not what doesn't exist, but let him see what's real that he cannot see at the moment with either his mind's eye or his natural eye. And boy, God opened up his servant's eyes and he looked and he said, and Elisha said, they that be with us, the more that they be with them. And they had chariots of fire all the way around. They were always there. That's why the old army that was around them saw it. That's why they stopped. That's why they stopped. It's the same. Listen, there's a reality in Christianity. This power of the Holy Spirit, the reality of the Holy Spirit. He exists. It's a reality. And if you and you may have to ask God to open your eyes to that reality. You should know. You should see it. And if you're not saved, you don't have the Holy Spirit, so you won't know that. But listen, you can be saved and you can be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And listen, we have to see it's just as real as this pulpit's right here. This carpet, whatever. The Holy Spirit, He is as real as anything you can see. Listen, in our experience or in your experience, this is how it could be revealed. This is how God could do it. And this is how it happens a lot of times. A heightened sense of the presence of Christ, where he's felt to be a real person. This is what happens when God's, when the Holy Spirit starts opening our eyes. A heightened sense of the presence of Christ, where he is felt to be a real person. Prayer becomes more than a formality, but is realized as a conversation with someone actually there. I have seen that, those steps in my life. I have seen my, when I changed my prayer life to pray into someone within me instead of without, it's a heightened sense of I'm praying to someone that's actually there. Love for God and others takes possession of the soul. The things of God become more real and the things of earth become less real. They're real, but they're seen kind of as a fuzzier thing on the peripheral, and the things of God are seen more clearly. This is some idea. It's not exhaustive. Once again, I couldn't, there's not any words in the English language. There's not words that we could understand to explain everything. It's just got to get it down to where we can get a grip on it. It's some idea of what the power of God is about in the New Testament. It's needed today, maybe more than ever. I don't know, probably not more than ever. We don't need more education. We don't need more organization. We don't need more equipment. We don't need more methods. All those things, nothing wrong with them. I'm not saying can't use them, but I'm saying we don't need them as much as those things. All of those things is like putting a respirator, as I said, on a dead patient. John 6:63 said, it's the Spirit that quickeneth. That word quickeneth means give life. Psalm 62:11, that power belongs unto God. A.W. Tozer. Listen, A.W. Tozer didn't go to college. He was a self-taught man. That's where I got the word afflatus. He said this, Christians should announce a moratorium on religious activities and set our house in order preparatory to the coming afflatus from above. A coming divine, creative, divine impulse from above. Exactly what, listen, the disciples, we saw how much they failed before the day of Pentecost, right? They needed the Holy Spirit. So do we. Just as much as they. Just as much as they. If it's possible to need him more, we would be in that category, not them. But we got more stuff going on in this world today. They needed the Holy Spirit. And I know we have the Holy Spirit, and I said before, but we've quenched him, grieved him, ignored him right out of our thoughts, right out of our churches. What we need, this is it. This is salvation. We need an invasion from God. Amen. You need an invasion from God. Huh? Is that descriptive of your salvation experience? An invasion of God that came into your soul and your life has been impacted by that? It's been affected by that? Your life outside has been affected by that? Only the Holy Spirit himself can save us from the unreality of spiritless Christianity. How is it with you? The life of God, is it in you? Come on, Paul. The life of God is in your heart and soul. Listen, if not, you just need to be saved. You just need to be saved. Huh? Everything else is superficial. It's unreality. Has God invaded your soul, your heart and soul? I'm going to have an invitation. If you need to be saved today, ponder these things. Think about these things. Is it a reality for you? Is God really real in your life? Impacted your life? That's the question.
Thank you, Pastor. Our invitation is hymn number 3, Jesus Paid It All. Let's stand together.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small, child of weakness. crimson stain.